When we last left our heroes, they were locked into a terribly important discussion. Let's drop in on them again as they plot the future. Now, from the Top Dog's Kennel in beautiful downtown Burbank, it's the Terrence and Philip Show.
Thank you, Gary, and welcome to another edition of the Terrence and Philip Show. I am Philip Hodgett.
And I'm Terrence Curran.
And this is the show about Final Cut Pro, the one we don't know anything about.
Yeah.
So let's listen and...
Let's start out with neither one of us are under NDA with Apple. So
neither one of us have seen Final Cut Pro.
Yes.
Next version.
And so we, you know, don't sue us, Apple. We know nothing.
We know it's nothing. Everything is conjecture. We know that your lawyers are bigger than our lawyers.
Yes.
And so it's all conjecture based on what little we've read from TechCrunch and from Larry Jordan, which really comes down to it's out there, it's going to be great, and it's probably 64-bit.
Yeah.
And not 64 bits, as Apple Insider reported. They say that the new Final Cut Pro will be in 64 bits, and that makes me wonder if it's the first ever NLE that's self-assembly like IKEA.
Yes. Well, let's start with what I find very interesting is about Apple controlling the message. Before we get into the nuts and bolts, let's talk about the Apple controlling the message because, you know, I did know some people who were going to this special event. A special event happened in February 17th in Cupertino, and around 100-ish people were invited to come up there, among them luminaries like Walter Murch, et cetera. They were able to see the new thing, the new Final Cut, and to come back. You know, they had to sign NDAs, obviously, so they couldn't talk about it. And then all of a sudden, Larry Jordan, who was one of the people that was there apparently, announces on his website that he went to this event and da-da-da-da. Now, there's no way he could do that under NDA without approval from Apple, which means they wanted to let people know. They're starting the buzz here.
That happened after TechCrunch leaked it.
Yeah.
The thing that I found amazing was the invites were sent out, and there was not even an instruction in the invite to not talk about it.
So the
fact that the meeting didn't leak to the rumor sites makes me wonder about how accurate their rumors are at the best of times when there's really good information that's out there that more than 100 people obviously knew about.
Yes, that's
because
true.
A lot of people were invited that didn't make it, apparently.
Right.
Apparently some people in Australia were invited that obviously didn't make it.
Well, yeah, because you had to fly up there on your own. I mean, it wasn't they were paying the way. So.
No.
And I did see the invite, and it said, if you come, you will be signing an NDA.
Yeah.
So you're right. The invite in and of itself was not under NDA.
No. So I fully expected that that would be up on one of these rumors, some Mac rumors or Apple Insider or something.
Yeah.
But everybody played nice and did the right thing.
Well, yeah, because it's Apple.
Because it's Apple.
The last thing you want to do is
everyone is self-censoring. Self-censoring. So that was funny in and of itself. So
we're doing a fair amount of that ourselves today.
We are. This is an unusual approach for Apple. They've never, to the best of my knowledge, they've never done a meeting like that in the past.
Right.
They certainly have individual meetings with large customers close to the end of the release or even during the cycle trying to work out how features should work.
Right. So that makes you wonder.
That makes me wonder what reason that would be, and
I have my theory.
I have my theory, which I think is probably the same theory, that it looks a heck of a lot like iMovie, that the interface elements have come across. It is probably not based on the iMovie code, because the current iMovie on OS X is based on Qt Kit.
Yeah, but iMovie on the iPhone
is completely based on AV Foundation.
Right. So that's the essence of the code.
The essence of the code absolutely is AV Foundation. Let's go back. We don't know, but if it is 64-bit, then by implication, it can't be based on QuickTime.
Right.
Because although there is some 64-bit QuickTime, that's the Qt Kit stuff, most of QuickTime is in the 32-bit C API. Mm-hmm. There are more than 10,000 API calls. That's not the correct terminology, but it'll be clearer for people. Mm-hmm. In QuickTime for Java, which is the last time that anyone did any sort of comprehensive correlation of the features that are in QuickTime,
mm-hmm.
it's very, very, very broad, and most people don't know 90% of what QuickTime can do and don't use it.
Right, but as you've said, QuickTime is basically dead anyways.
Apparently, although I think we'll still keep Qt Kit around for a while, and it'll be at least 10.8 before they could remove the C API because so much may break. Although, really, seriously, there's not that much of the WireSprite features that are still in use by many people.
Well,
it is almost certainly based on AV Foundation and not based on QuickTime.
Let's talk about that real quick before we move off. Is the difference between what QuickTime is and AV Foundation in a way that people can understand, including me? So I know I've asked you to try to simplify this explanation.
Yes, and somebody on Twitter asked me to simplify it as well.
Understandable.
In the beginning was QuickTime, and that was a C API. That means that it was what QuickTime 3 was, the pinnacle of QuickTime. It's when it went cross-platform. It's when it got a whole bunch of extra features. But it can't be used in a 64-bit world. And we know that Apple has been pushing, have everybody been pushing towards 64 bits as fast as they can.
Right.
Because it mainly allows applications to address a larger memory space.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're working in high-definition video, you want more memory space.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you get projects that get too big and fall over. So they've started to rewrite for Tiger. They started to rewrite QuickTime to 64-bit, and that was what we call QtKit.
Mm-hmm.
But QtKit has something under 500 of those calls, those nearly 10,000.
Yikes.
calls.
Yeah.
Parallel, and there has been very little. There has been some QtKit development in Leopard and Snow Leopard, very small tweaks here and there. There hasn't been a huge, massive development. QuickTime 10 is built on a different foundation. It's built QtKit, and it goes straight from QtKit to the core frameworks on the OS.
Okay, so this is the underpinnings of
the underpinning.
Right here. This is what really matters, is how
QuickTime,
does...
Yeah, QuickTime goes through a whole lot of layers and eventually gets down to core image and core audio.
Okay.
It would appear...
Mm-hmm.
From looking from the outside, that somewhere around the planning for Leopard and the planning of the iOS development path,
mm-hmm.
they decided that they did need to put video editing functionality and a lot more video features and audio features on the phone. And so they decided to build again rather than revamp QuickTime to 64-bit. They started over. And the important distinction with the AV Foundation frameworks is that they are time-based.
Okay, versus QuickTime, which is
event-based. And those events can be 30 events every 29.97 events per second.
Mm-hmm.
But QuickTime hasn't always been good at determining what is a second and what is a frame. I've mentioned before that
we ran into lots of problems with that.
Long frame capture. QuickTime wasn't built... Seriously, it was not built as a video application. It was a multimedia interactive, was the design parameter that also played video on a computer screen.
Right.
It really wasn't until Premiere tried to make it work and kind of did, and Final Cut is built on it and mostly made it work. And I think a lot of the Final Cut Pro team has been working around limitations in QuickTime for the professional space.
Mm-hmm.
So what has happened is all of the time-based media handling, let's call it that, has been rewritten in AV Foundation. And I had expected that AV Foundation would go into 10.7 and have confirmation today that, in fact, it's public knowledge that AV Foundation is in 10.7. Logically, the next version of Final Cut Pro should have been built on AV Foundation.
Right.
Because AV Foundation is all that modern architecture. You know those gamma problems that QuickTime has? Mm-hmm. If you start over... You can make sure it doesn't have gamma and color shift problems.
Right.
Because you're doing it with knowledge of 2010, 2011, what we need now, not what was going to be the great multimedia application of, 98, 99, something like that.
So basically, what we've got now is a frame-accurate architecture, and it sounds like it's at a much lower level in the operating system.
Yes, it hooks
right. So it's more efficient.
It hooks right into the core. You know, core means this is stuff deep in the OS that handles it. If you go to core audio, you're going straight to the hardware audio processing. If you go to core video, which has been replaced in AV Foundation, if you go to core video, you're going straight to the graphics card accelerated, wherever we can, you know, really low level. Almost no work from you.
So much more efficient.
Much more efficient.
Which is why you can, on the iPhone in iMovie, play H.264 like there's no problem.
And edit it.
And edit it, yeah.
Yeah, because both have accelerated playback. But the fact that you can edit a long-gop H.264 on an iPhone, just try doing that in Final Cut Pro 7.
Well, it sounds like in the new Final Cut, or iCut Pro, or whatever we want to call it.
I think we'll stay with Final Cut Pro. Just because it looks like iMovie doesn't mean it has to be thought of as iMovie. And I think that's why Apple are managing the message this time to avoid that.
And I have gotten indications that it looks like iMovie. There's no viewer anymore. So you're basically, if you're familiar with iMovie at all,
Don't tell me somebody leaked. No viewer. Media 100 never had a viewer.
Right. And so, you know, it's a different way of working. But people who are used to the Final Cut Pro current architecture are probably going to go, oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, people who are used to a paradigm that was based on a linear editing paradigm 20 years ago when it was probably an appropriate transition phase doesn't necessarily mean that that paradigm is right for editing now.
Yes. But if I look in iMovie and I go, you know, I mean, iMovie has some really cool features.
It does.
You know, the facial recognition, you know,
et cetera. Detection, not recognition.
Well, detection,
there's a difference.
Face detection. So you can figure out whether it's a medium shadow, wide shadow, et cetera. I mean, all of those tools are going to be really great selling points in the new software.
Yeah.
I mean,
and,
assuming.
And remembering that 1.3, 1.4, whatever million Final Cut Pro users, there are probably less than 100,000 what we'd call professional editors.
I'm
being generous.
Professional is you get paid to do it.
Yeah, that's a little broad.
How
many members of the Editors Guild are there? About 6,000, I think, from memory. So let's say that only represents the peak of Hollywood and broadcast television or cable. Say that there are at least 10 times that out there. That's why I rounded up to 100,000. If all of those people absolutely hate the new Final Cut Pro, and not everybody will, it doesn't matter that much to Apple. And there are other good alternatives. Frankly, maybe those people should go to Media Composer and be happy with the paradigm shift.
Mm-hmm.
The other 1.2 million, 1.3 million Final Cut users are not from that mindset. They just want to be able to edit video faster, quicker, greater, getting to a result more quickly.
And if you look at, you know, the future, which is obviously, you know, internet distribution, it makes a lot, you know, iMovie makes more sense, of a platform makes a lot more sense than what we have now.
But let's just back up to finish the AV Foundation story because it tells us a lot about what's going on in Apple.
Mm-hmm.
AV Foundation is coming to 10.7, as I expected and as I predicted.
Mm-hmm.
Based on that assumption and some assumptions about how communication within Apple has worked in the past, and I'll show an example of that in a minute, I did not expect the Final Cut Pro team to have access to AV Foundation on 10.7 until at least within the beta cycle it's just been launched for Lion. So that would have implied pretty much a 2012 release.
Right.
That this is a Final Cut release that would appear to have to be based on AV Foundation to do what they want to do, before AV Foundation goes into the OS, that means that as AV Foundation was being developed, it was by the iOS team, that the Final Cut Pro team at the same time were gaining access to that. Now, the old Apple was when Motion was down here in Santa Monica and, you know, the head of they built this lovely architecture that ran filters and effects on the GPU and got us a lot of performance in Motion 1. To discover about 2 or 3 months after Motion was released that the OS was gaining a functionality called Quartz Composer and Quartz Composer Compositions. These are filters and effects running on the GPU.
Mm-hmm.
So the Motion team, after their first release, had to go back and rewrite their stuff to be compliant with the OS level stuff. So we didn't get that compliance until another version later. So work had been done.
They were a
became redundant.
Team.
If they had known what was happening, they would have built their work on.
Right.
Now, this time, and I believe that this is my conjecture, is that Randy Ubilis as chief video architect, which he was introduced on stage as, that his role in the company, as well as a lot of coding input into the applications, particularly iMovie, that his role is to make sure that as technologies that are relevant to video are developed in any part of the company, they come to all parts of the company where they're relevant. And that's a huge change in the nature of the way Apple works with Apple.
Yeah, but if you look at what Apple has intended to become and is becoming, being the guys who have the tools you create it with, the tools to distribute, and the viewers on the end. You know, you watch it, you create it in iMovie, you post it on iTunes, and people watch it on their iPads, iPods, Apple TVs, etc. So, you know, they are becoming the studio replacement of the future. So in that sense, you'd have to have that kind of, you know, whereas Pro Apps is sort of that division that was over there off to the side. But look at how iMovie was in the iOS. You know, now it's a different company. They're a different, you know, they're a communication company, basically.
Yeah.
And, you know, that world has changed. So, I he would have to be up in that position.
Yeah.
Final Cut would have to be based on that as opposed to trying to rewrite the old dinosaur into the, current universe.
Sometimes it's just better to to start over and do it right to match your current needs rather than trying to keep kludging something that was based on events to make it work with something that needs to be based on time. Now, I could go into a whole lot of what happened with QuickTime, but that's really irrelevant here.
Right.
QuickTime is not going to go away. QtKit certainly is still in Lion. And
the people who have, you know, my guess is that there probably is not going to be anything, as I predicted a year ago, my guess is still there won't be anything in the way of Tape.io, which means if...
Oh, but you know how I was eviscerated when I suggested that.
Well, you know what? So was I.
I mean, if that's the case and there is no log and capture, well, I'm going to exert the I told you so dance from the old episodes of Will and Grace and put together. That on my blog.
We'll be doing it together. But it doesn't, you know, you export a QuickTime movie from the application. You can still use, you know, if you've got a Kona card, if you've got, you know, a
anything
Declan
Blackmagic,
card,
anything Matrox.
Anything you have to go out to tape comes with an application allowing you to use a QuickTime movie and output to tape or vice versa. So you still will have it. It's just be a little more painful. And I would be willing to bet that they support the final cut, if this is completely rewrite like this, that they still support the existing Final Cut 7 for a while at least.
Leaving it in parallel. Like, in the way that they did the way that they did with iMovie 8 when iMovie 9 was released. They allowed you to download iMovie 08 if you really, really, really hated the new one.
Yes.
And couldn't adapt.
Right.
So, yes, I see some complications in your make it, distribute it, sell it sort of ecosystem, and that is the approval process. But apart from that, that's probably the only flyer in that long-term goal.
Well, you know, you could tie in the fact that they're opening their big data center back east in the approval process.
Well, the approval process is a human process, and that's always an expensive one.
How? So you post...
I've got
a cut. You post it on their server where it's, you know, selectively only certain people can see it. You allow those people to see it. They give you notes. You do more, you know, that just like any review and approval.
But that's expensive. That's expensive for Apple. That's somebody who's on at least $20 an hour to look at your stuff for half an hour. So now they've got a debt.
You mean to post on iTunes?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, to post on iTunes in the same way that every app that goes in the App Store has to be reviewed at every revision to make sure it flies with all of their rules about sexual content, about using no private frameworks, about only using their in-app purchase system, blah, da, 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 da.
My guess is that's about to change.
And my guess is that's not going to change.
Well, I would.
Apple is all about.
They may call it something other than iTunes, but my guess is that's about to change because
it'll still
they
be
need
approved.
To have.
It'll still be. It'll still anything. And we're getting off the subject. Well,
yes,
That's probably another.
Yes, yes.
So if we have AV Foundation, we have Quartz compositions because all of the filters, all of the templates, and everything that are in iMovie 9 and 10, whatever the current version is, 08. It's iMovie 11 currently. It's called, which is truly iMovie 9. It's the ninth release of iMovie. It's called iMovie 11.
Okay.
All of the transitions and filters are, in fact, Quartz Composer compositions. And Quartz Composer is a technology that had brushed by me. I was aware of it. Josh Melliker had done some experimenting with it and published some interesting movies made with Quartz Composer. But it's an amazing technology, and it's very close to what an FX plug is. And so you can make templates, you can make a whole range of really interesting things. In fact, it's incredibly powerful. And it's got an authoring tool that Apple developed. It's in the developer tools, but that is a free download. And you can make some very powerful, very, very powerful. And, of course, we already see this. Noise Industries and CHV plugins that allow you to plug in Quartz compositions because it's a wrapper that communicate with FX Plug. Well, I'm sure they'll still support FX Plug. I would be dubious about FX Script.
So, which brings up the question of, you know, hey, I've got 25 plugin packages in Final Cut. What's going to happen with those?
Well, every one of them will need to be recompiled for 64-bit if it is a 64-bit application because plugins have to be in the same space as their host.
Mm-hmm.
That's been a problem with CS5.
Well,
going to 64-bit, all of those After Effects plugins
like you
have to be rewritten.
Take advantage of the Quartz too with them wherever possible, right?
Well, most FX plugins would easily convert to Quartz Composer if they are not already Quartz Composer.
Mm-hmm.
I just expect that you won't need the Noise Industries plugin or the CH3 plugin in order to use them. I just imagine there'll be a acceptable filter that will appear in Motion, appear in Final Cut Pro, or any other application on the computer. And allow you to create your own. So Quartz Composer, for those increasing number of people working in post-production who also seem to like to do some light-level coding, this is a fairly easy, relatively easy tool to make that and to make a lot of things. And with a lot of data handling, I became really excited when I suddenly, oh, you mean I can get data? I can have data inside inside a plugin. Oh, and use external data to pull stuff into a plugin. What could I do with that? At the moment, I haven't any brilliant ideas, but it leaves a brain space open. So, yes, that would be a benefit if they have this nice core technology across the company. And the nice thing about using core technologies is you get a lot for free. The coders call it sugar. Greg pointed this out to me this week. The Manifesto plugin that was being given away free a week or two ago is essentially an NS Text view, and you get things like spell check, styles, paragraph, font handling, all for nothing just by calling an NS Text view. And boom, you get all of this functionality. If you pull up a WebKit view, you've got all the basic functions of a browser in that one WebKit view.
Interesting.
So we use WebKit views for some handling of registration in our apps.
So this is a great time for the mild programmers.
Yes, it's a OS X is very easy to program for. And in AV Foundation, rather than Core Video, there is another core function called Core Media. Because Core Video was really Core Image over time.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't truly a video architecture. So they've replaced that with Core Media. So there are three at the foundation of – at the base of AV Foundation on iOS, at least, is Core Audio, Core Media, and Core Animation.
Okay. So animation is the moving stills then.
No, core animation is largely for interface building. So you can have all nice, beautifully animated interfaces. So, for example, a way they might use it, and no idea if they will or not, but they might use it if you change workspace from one workspace to the other rather than just snapping. It could dissolve or pieces could move.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
And again, you know, it's very, very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And it can fit one line of code will give you that. And we use it when we change views in a couple of our apps. The window resizes and they move and change as we go from one mode to another. It just adds that little extra element of classy display that you can do when you've got GPU cycles to waste. And you can hook into it in a very easy way where developers are not having to write animation code with keyframes and every attribute has to be animated. I mean, it makes things very easy. It's all this sugar that you get by using frameworks.
So what we're talking about now is by changing the engine, the underpinnings, they've made it highly efficient compared to the existing Final Cut.
Yes.
The interface is going to be different because, you know, they feel that that's more optimum for the editing universe.
For the future.
So we're going to have – I mean, this is a quantum leap, basically, for Apple to go – you know,
yeah, if this is the 64-bit release, then this is the release we have been waiting for.
Yeah, so this is a quantum leap. But it's interesting because, obviously, as we started out with, they're trying to manage the message. They know
that there's going to be a backlash.
Yeah, there's going to be huge backlash from existing users who are going, oh, well, this is completely different.
Yeah.
So this is going to be interesting. It's going to be fun to watch how they sell this.
People want everything to get better and not change.
Right.
And that's, of course, not possible. Going into 64-bit, though, and being Cocoa native means that they can then draw on the other frameworks and other features in the operating system, that is Grand Central Dispatch. So rather than having to write the app to specifically use 1, 2, 3, 4, 8, 10, 12 cores, it's just automatic. The operating system Grand Central Dispatch handles that automatically for you when you write code. If you write to Grand Central Dispatch, you just say, you handle what processes are used and manage that at the system level. Give me maximum. So that gives you a massive increase in capability and power. Suddenly you're going to use all of those cores in the 12-core machine or in the 4-core
laptop. Yeah, so that would suggest you'd be able to background render. Aside from other processes, never stop. You could just keep working.
The one and only leak I ever had was that background rendering was in the next version.
Oh, okay. So, yeah.
And so it may or may not be, because it was not confirmed from Apple. It was just
that. Yeah, but if you have access to all the cores, you would obviously do that.
Yes, and handle it in the background. And that, so see, for some people, that could be a killer application.
Well, yeah. Actually, for a lot of people, it sounds like it'll be a killer application.
Because it also allows you to write OpenCL code, which runs regular code on a graphics processor.
So now as the processors get faster, it's going to become more powerful.
Yes.
which probably is, you know, even with the new laptops they just released, they made a big thing about the new graphics processors in them.
Yes, and the top 17-inch has a gigabyte of RAM on the graphics card. It's not a card, but the built-in graphics.
Which makes you wonder whether, you know, because there is some banter going around about whether they're going to kill the whole Mac Pro line, the workstation line.
So this is probably the release we've been waiting for. If it is, then kudos to Apple, and I could not be more happy about having my timing so very, very wrong.
Yeah.
Yes, I was basing it on assumptions about the old Apple or the way Apple has worked in the past, and clearly it's not working that way anymore, and I'm overjoyed that it's not working that way anymore.
Oh, that's an elegant way to take the egg off your face.
Well,
yes.
It will be very interesting when we see what it looks like to work out you know, what I got right and what I got wrong. I know the timing was wrong, but it does appear to be based on AV Foundation, which I got right. So
if they're you know, intentionally leaking that they have it already, that means they're going to have to soon show something. So what do you think? Maybe April showing or something like that?
Mm,
I mean, because if they do it before NAB, if they do it before NAB, they steal everyone's thunder. Nobody will be paying attention to anything but that at NAB.
Yeah, traditionally, Apple have stopped doing trade shows.
No, I'm not talking about doing the trade
I know
show.
That you're talking about event concurrent with or...
Yes,
yeah.
Or just slightly before.
That
and
would
then,
be...
Because if you go to the AJA booth at NAB, they're going to want to have it running with all of the, you know, et cetera. As you go
if
to the
they,
different booths.
If they show it before April. Now that,
yes, that's what I'm saying. Well,
I think the word
NAB.
Is spring. The word is spring.
Yeah.
NAB would be very, very early in spring, within the first 25 days of spring.
Mm-hmm.
So my thinking is that probably we won't see it before NAB,
they'll
wait until afterwards and make their own splash.
Yeah, to be interesting, because that would be an advantage, obviously, to the ancillary manufacturers to be able to show it in their booths at NAB. But,
yeah.
But
and
it would also, unfortunately for Avid, it would mean that, you know, nobody would hear about Media Composer 5.5. It would just, what? No,
yeah.
They had something? Oh, really? Were they there?
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, maybe we'll see something about NAB. Much more likely, I think we'll see it later in spring, which could be as late as June 20th and still qualify.
Well, they're seeing and they're shipping. Those are two different things.
That's true.
And they have in the past shown things they're not shipping yet. You know,
absolutely.
So it's entirely possible. What I'm saying is they could announce before NAB and basically
tell
everyone.
They'll do it when they're ready, and they'll do it in the way that they think is going to best manage the message for their needs.
Yeah.
As for the new laptops and the new Thunderbolt connector, I think that's another show, and because it's a radical change in and of itself. If anybody had any doubt at all that Apple was serious about professional audio and video, these laptops, Thunderbolt and Final Cut Pro 8, probably should, for once and for all, put all future such rumors to death, but I bet it doesn't.
No, I think it will. I think it will.
So, in the meantime, until we get to that next show, if you want to speed up your post-production or you want to take the boring out of post, then head on over to assistedediting.com. Head over to philiphodgetts.com to see what my beautiful new blog looks like and read up on my various thoughts on these topics.
And if they do come out with without tape I/O, don't worry, because Digital Server Station is nearby to help you out. And as we always say, come to Alpha Dogs for all your finishing needs. We'll make your programs look and sound better.
Till next time, do something creative.